You know, I was thinking that there's probably nothing more gross and gory than a Truman Capote novel until I found out that here comes the Colonel.
Yeah, yeah, that's not even funny. Welcome back to the second half hour of The Promise of Tomorrow. I'm your host, I'm Colonel Mason. We're going to have a special encore performance with Deb Newberry in just a minute. And, of course, the end of the program, listener comments and the voice of reason. But right now, let's step over to our fountain of useless information.
Welcome to the fountain of useless information. How can I help?
Yes, I see. We have thrown in the coins, and that has awakened the spirit of the fountain, who knows all, hears all, sees all, and tells all for a price. All right, oh, spirit of the fountain, here's a geography question for you. Ocho Rios and Port Antonio are the tourist centers in what Caribbean country? Ocho Rios, Port Antonio, tourist centers in what Caribbean country? I'll give you a hint. Famous for its rum.
I have given you my answer. And now you may tell the other.
Aha! The spirit of the fountain cannot be fooled. Ocho Rios, Port Antonio, the tourist centers in what Caribbean country? Famous for its rum was the hint. And if you said Puerto Rican rum, it's Puerto... No, you're wrong. You're wrong. Actually, the best rum comes from Jamaica. And that is where the Ocho Rios and Port Antonio are the tourist attractions of. Of course, you probably knew that anyway if you're a rum connoisseur. Meyer's Dark Jamaican Rum. I discovered that little treasure, well, in the Caribbean not too long ago. Okay. Now, back to our program. Right now, this is a special encore presentation with Deb Newberry, author of The Next Big Thing Is Really Small. She teaches at Dakota Technical College in Minnesota and will provide nanotechnology instruction to schools for their students at no charge.
It's one of the things that I've seen changing over the last 2 or 3 years with regard to nanotechnology education content. You know, one thing is that, to my horror, you know, a lot of people, a lot of colleges don't necessarily want an entire 2-year nanoscience technician program. But what they do want is bits and pieces that they can integrate into existing programs, you know, like a biotechnology or an environmental science or an electronics program or photonics. And so several years ago, Nanolink started taking our curriculum in terms of like a 16-week course and breaking it into modules and getting those integrated into different, you know, community colleges or programs. But what happened was the modules that we were creating, we realized were perfect for insertion into high school level traditional courses like physics, chemistry, biology.
Really?
And so we created, right now we've got about 20 modules created, and starting in the fall of 2012, we had high school and college educators register, and then we've started sending out for free at no cost to them the materials to do the experiments kind of at periodic intervals. And we are reaching over 85 teachers in like 19 states and just about 6,000 students, which is a 100-fold increase over what we were able to do previously. You know, we've always had educator workshops to talk to them about what nanotechnology is and how it relates to traditional sciences and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we didn't realize how important it was, you know, even though the equipment or the materials or the chemicals are real simple to find, educators, you know, high school teachers don't have time to go online, and even if it's only $5 worth of something, you know, they don't have time. And so we said, okay, we're going to create the kits, the materials, and send them out to you free. And so like if it's teacher registers and they say, I have 30 students, well, then we send them 30 little baggies with individual setups for each one of the students. Everything from test tubes to wooden stir sticks to transfer pipettes to the chemicals that are non-toxic and all that kind of stuff. All of our experiments are very safe. And it's just been phenomenal. And here, golly, Colonel, I was so surprised. Yesterday was the first official day of the conference, the first full day with the exhibits and everything.
Yeah.
And we had a 3:30 workshop on the first day of the conference, and this is such a big conference that there's like 35 sessions in parallel or something. Mm. And we had like 45 educators there, which, you know, with a conference of 13,000 attendees, you go, well, duh, that's not very much. But, you know, there's so much that people have to choose from. I was very pleased, and it was an enthusiastic audience. We just had a great time, did some demonstrations and stuff. So, you know, one thing that I'm seeing changing in the nanoscale arena is this whole movement to bite-sized nuggets of nanotechnology content as it relates to other disciplines, whether it's something like as basic traditional sciences like chemistry, or perhaps it's related to photonics and how, you know, or related to biotechnology and protein, you know, detection or that sort of thing. So that's, and I know I'm just talking way too much here, but anyway,
no,
the,
good.
The other thing that is, this is so cool, you know, the Nature Publishing Company, the group that publishes Nature Magazine.
Yeah.
And I am a big subscriber. I love them. They're, they're very high level, technically sound, wonderful magazines.
Mm-hmm.
But they have just started, they've initiated, I just found out about this yesterday, Nature Education Division. And the first thing that they've done is they've created an online biology textbook that it's got something like 160 modules, little units. And the idea is that the educator can take all of those units and pick which ones and create their own online biology textbook for their students. And I just thought, oh my gosh, this is so cool, because in my belief, it's the way we should go. You know, our school, Dakota County Technical College, what I'm looking at now is how I can modularize our nanotechnology, our 72-credit, two-year program, how I can modularize it to address the needs of, like, returning veterans. Because we get veterans coming back where the U.S. government, the military, has taught them a lot of things that they already need to know to get nanoscience jobs. And so why, I'm trying to figure out a way, and it's not an easy problem to do, but I'm trying to figure out a way that I can give them credit for the knowledge that they're walking in with, and kind of streamline the program for them, both in terms of dollars and time. I think the same is going to be true for, you know, workers, a lot of workers that are displaced. And so it's a big challenge, but I've been meeting with, you know, forums of returning veterans and trying to get a handle on what they're coming in with, and then looking at, you know, like our full-blown curriculum and seeing how I can break it apart to make it easier for them. So you asked me what I was up to, and that's my answer.
Well, that is a very, very exciting stuff, and I've got to admit that you know, you're absolutely right. The nanotechnology is across so many different disciplines, and it's so interesting because you can apply it really to any source of interest that anybody happens to be interested in, and they can drill down to the nano level, and all of a sudden it's a whole new world for them. So these modules you're talking about are really little kits that you'll send out to the high schools, and the high schools, what are they? They apply through Dakota Technical College, or and who pays for the little modules that you send out?
Exactly. And a lot of ours, because because we are funded by the National Science Foundation, and the particular directorate that we're associated with, once their focus is on, you know, 2-year college and high school students.
Mm-hmm.
But what we're finding is there are kindergarten teachers that are using some of our kits in kindergarten to talk about atoms and molecules. And, you know, it's a whole lot more of just a gee whiz thing, but it's darn cool. And, you know, I think so many of us acknowledge that if you want to get students or children or youth interested in any sort of a STEM career, science, technology, engineering, and math, you know, you've got to start before high school. And so, you know, I think there's two things, because we, NanoLink, is certainly open to having educators from the younger groups use our stuff, and we help teach them how to use it and all that kind of stuff. Our focus is on the upper level, but so at the upper level, what we've got to do is just really think about okay, how can the students that we're looking for at the upper level are not necessarily the nerd ones who have already decided that they want to be a scientist or, you know, an engineer or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But there are there's a huge group of students out there in high school,
uh-huh,
that like science and math. They like watching NOVA. They like reading Popular Mechanics or Scientific American,
mm-hmm,
but they aren't the type of students that are going to take AP Physics or AP Chemistry or, you know, but they like it. They enjoy it. They like doing things with their hands. They like solving problems or puzzles. Those students are perfect for a 2-year technical degree.
Oh, yeah.
And the thing is, in photonics technicians, environmental science technicians, biotechnicians, there are more jobs out there than there are people to fill them. And it's a 2-year degree level of skill. And so if we can get to those students that have an interest and like science and math, but, you know, for whatever reason, I don't know why. Some teacher told them, their parents told them, I don't know. Somewhere along the line, they got the idea that they couldn't do anything technical or scientific or whatever. I think that a lot of the modules that we're doing, the activities that we've got into high school, you know, my hope and prayer is that it'll convince some of those middle level students that, oh, yes, they can. Because that's exactly what I see happening in my program at DCTC. I get students in there, potential students, I'm talking to them, and they're kind of apologetic for not taking, you know, the highest level physics and chemistry and math courses. And I tell them, I don't care. That doesn't matter. You know, do you like science and math? And if the answer is yes, and then I say, are you willing to come to class? The answer needs to be yes. And are you willing to work hard and do the work? And if the answer is yes to those three questions, I don't really care what they did or how they did in high school. It's so much more the attitude that I'm looking for, you know, in potential students. And that's, you know, that's something that they've got to get across. But those very same students, once they get into the program, they realize that, oh my gosh, I can do science and math. I can figure out these problems. I can do physics. And 40% of my students go on for 4-year degrees.
Well, Deborah, I've got to ask you something. I've got a 16-year-old grandson who told me when I saw him over Thanksgiving, he says, Grandma, I'm really, you know, he says, I really don't like school at all, but he says, I really love chemistry. And I said, I need to introduce you to my friend Deb Newberry. I said, at Dakota Technical College in Minneapolis. And I said, and maybe if we can't get some interest going there as far as, you know, nanotechnology. He said, well, could you do that? I said, yeah, I'd love to talk to her. So how can my grandson go to his chemistry teacher, and get some of these modules that you're talking about?
Well, okay. It's so easy. He just needs to go to a science teacher. No, where is your grandson located?
He's in, a place you never heard of. He's in Escanaba, Michigan. Escanaba and Gladstone, which is on... Oh, cut it out. You don't know where Escanaba is.
I went to Michigan Tech. I know where Escanaba is. But anyway, what he has to do is ask his science teacher to go to our NanoLink website, which is www.nano-link.org. And on the very first page, the home page over in the left-hand side, there is a little mint leaf. And underneath it, it says register for the Nano Infusion Project. And so the teacher just goes in there. They need to select a username and a password, and then they give us some information about what they teach, how many students, where they're located, and if they want to get the modules. And then as soon as an educator is registered on that website, nano-link.org, then they have access to all of the background material. Let me just back up a little bit. Each one of the experiments that we have, we provide background information for the educator. I mean, two or three pages about the concepts and how it ties into traditional concepts, how it ties into nanoscale concepts. We give them the student worksheets, the teacher worksheets. A lot of times on the NanoLink website, we have videos that are related to that phenomena that the educators can use and show in class. We provide PowerPoint charts on the topic if the educators want to use those. We've got a lot of additional resources on the website. So once an educator has just registered to get access to the NanoLink website, they can see all of the activities that we have. They can see all of the background information. And then literally by signing up and telling us how many students they have, then we will begin sending them the materials to do the experiments. Right now we're sending the experiments out in batches of three. We're still trying to figure out the most efficient way to get the stuff to the educators. But, it's as simple as any teacher going to the website and registering. And then automatically his teacher will start sending them the materials to do the activities. The other thing, this is so funny, I'm just kind of laughing, because what we will do, my amazingly wonderful technical assistant, her name is Billy Copley, and she is a graduate from my program, and for the last 9 months or so, she's been working full-time, and she's my left arm, right arm, left leg. She is just amazing.
Okay.
I've never had a full-time support person, so it's really cool. But what we do is if your grandson's school can get us a minimum of 10 teachers and a room, doesn't have to be a chemistry room or a lab, but just a room, Billy and I will come to your facility, to your location. We'll spend 6 to 8 hours with those teachers, and we'll walk them through anywhere between 8 and 12 of the labs that we have. We'll do an educator workshop so that the teachers have experience doing the activities before they get the kit. And one thing that happens at those workshops is we ask the teachers to bring their syllabus, their class syllabus, and so we kind of help them figure out where the nano concepts might fit into a traditional curriculum. And so this is like high school, and if you've got a community college or a technical college close by, invite some of the educators from there. But it's completely no cost to the hosting organization. The only cost to you is to find the educators and give me a room. We'll bring all the materials. We'll pay the stipends if that's necessary. we will pay for our own travel and hotel, you know, and we'll get there, and we just ask for, you know, 6 to 8 hours of your time and a place to do it. And it doesn't have to be a fancy place. And I'm just kind of laughing as I explain this, because that's exactly what we're telling the teachers that we have an exhibit here, and the teachers that stop by our exhibit, we're telling them, yeah, we'll come to a workshop. They kind of look and they go, well, how much is that going to cost? And I go, well, nothing, really. I mean, you have to be in a room. And they go, no, that's impossible. How much is it going to cost? And I go, nothing. We'll pay our own airplane. We'll buy our own hotel room. We'll bring the materials. You know, we'll pay stipends. We'll even buy pizza and sub sandwiches if you want. But, you know, because the thing that drives me, sir, is getting this really cool stuff out into the younger generation so they know the opportunity. And some schools, what the group of educators will do is say, we'll come in on a Wednesday and we'll do 4 hours of the training, like from 4 to 8 o'clock on Wednesday. And then on Thursday during the day, Billy and I will travel around or, you know, go to different high schools, and we can talk about nanoscience careers. We can do some experiments with them. We can do a basic, what in the world is nanotechnology and why do I care? You know, we'll spend time meeting with students, and then for the educators, finish up the workshop, the training workshop, Thursday night from, like, you know, 4 to 8 again. And so, you know, there's a lot of different ways to do it. We'll come in and do an all-day Saturday workshop. It doesn't matter. And it's just funny because the educators cannot believe that it really doesn't cost them anything. So, you know, the biggest thing is to get...
That's an encore interview recorded 2 years ago with Deb Newberry, author of The Next Big Thing Is Really Small. And at this time, I want to thank you very much for those of you who have contributed to this program. We depend on contributions from listeners like you for the existence of this show. We're totally science community supported. So those of you who have contributed, thank you very much. Those of you who wish to can do so at our website, promiseoftomorrow.biz. On the right-hand side of your screen, you'll see a little tab there for donations. Just click the donations, and we appreciate all your help.
And now, we make time for the voice of reason. Listener comments, ideas, and suggestions.
I said that, you know, in the United States, we have been blessed with being provided with the right infrastructure, the right, you know, the right partnership, the right tools to be able to advance the state of radiation detection technology. And I think over the past, when you look back at 2001, today, tremendous advances have been made in the capability of radiation detectors. And that's to the credit of the federal agencies that have funded this effort by and large. Yeah, I'd like to tell you that I'm very proud of what the United States has done to date, because this multi-layered approach and this global nuclear detection architecture, which is currently being formed, is really the answer to this vibrant, you know, making sure that the commerce is still vibrant and going through without any additional impact to throughput and yet protecting us. So, I think we're very fortunate to be in the country which is leading that effort. I am Louis Guillebeau, Senior Director of L3 Security and Detection System Radiation Detection Product Line in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
So you decide, has this really been the voice of reason? Listener comments are welcome at 214-329-4949. And please tell us your name and where you're from.
You've been listening to The Promise of Tomorrow with Colonel Mason, the definitive program on emerging and nanotechnologies, now archived and streamed on the web at promiseoftomorrow.biz. Join us next week at the same time as we learn more about the promise of tomorrow.
I am waiting for you. I